Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you. Boy, our class looks good this morning. I'm so glad you made it in. Hello. There's the Snyders with us. We're glad to have you this morning. He wants to know if you want to teach the class. He came to hear some good teaching.
Well, we'll hope we hear some.
Okay. Before I start any of the announcements or anything, there's a clipboard coming around, one from the back, one from the front, and it's for the Feast of Nations, and so I'm going to read what Miss Phyllis put on here, and if you guys would just, if you want to fix something for that Feast of Nations, go ahead and sign the clipboard, and we'll do this each Sunday until the 21st, okay? So it says here that this Sunday we're putting up sign-up sheets for the ladies to bring covered dishes on the 28th. So that's what this clipboard's coming around's all about. It's called the Feast of Nations. We have that on the last day of our missions week, missions month. And so you guys, if y'all were interested in doing something, it don't have to be for any specific country or anything like that. Most people will eat about whatever you give them. So just sign up if you want to bring something for that day. Maybe somebody will. Yeah, it's Chinese, Leroy. That's right. Okay, well, good morning to you, and we'll do this as fast as we can and allow Brother Philip to come on and teach. Today is our first day of September on Sunday, and it's the Missions Month, and it's a joy to always get to Missions Month. We talk about many things that are going on with missionaries around the world, and so we get to have some of them in, get to meet them, meet their families, and learn what they're doing. So for today, we got Brother David Schneider with us and his wife, and he'll be our speaker all day long. So he's looking to hear some good teaching, Brother Philip, so he can carry on, you know.
That's just wrong.
Okay, well, it is good to have you, Brother Schneider, and we're happy for that. Also, tonight in the PM service, we're going to get to hear David and Grace M. and hear what their work is and what they're doing. So that's today. All right, Wednesday, September the 10th, in our family fellowship, we're going to have Jonathan and Danielle Midkiff from Indonesia, and so this will be an interesting week for us to listen to these missionaries. And then, if y'all would remember the gift cards, we collect the gift cards all month long, and then we give them out to the missionaries at the end of the month. Also, it's good to have Scotty and Mrs. Callier with us. They've are back down from up north for a while, so it's good to have you with us. Okay, let's see, on condolences, we have condolences to Mrs. Donna Campbell on the passing of her sister, Helen. So y'all remember Donna in this time of bereavement. For birthdays, we have a few birthdays that's coming up this week. Brother James Bottenheimer, better known as Jimmy, he's going to have a birthday on September the 8th. So happy birthday, Jimmy. Also, Rick McConnell, our guy that sits up there in the clouds. Happy birthday, Rick, on the 8th also. And Miss Sharon Copas, going to have a birthday on the 10th. So happy birthday to all of y'all. And then anniversary, Fred and Miss Lisa Davenport. I don't think they're in here, but many of you know them probably, so wish them a happy anniversary. Let's get right to the prayer requests and everything. We're still remembering our teacher, Brother Philip. We're praying for him that God will work in his life and in his
heart.
Okay. And, you know, just bless him. And then we're still praying for Chad Rankin, who was Geneva and Jackie's request last week. So they don't know anything new this week. But we're praying for those two. And then we have the normal people. As you can see on your list that we gave out to you this morning, you can see the people that's been on there for some time. And there's all kinds of health situations on there for them. And so we just lift them up before the Lord. And so like to ask, does anyone have a unspoken? Okay. Brother Marty? Stephen? Okay. Miss Shirley back there? Okay. And Larry? Okay. You know, God knows all about these just as much as what's written down or spoken. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll ask him to bless this class service. Father, we do come to you this morning thanking you for your blessings, and God, they are many. Lord, when we stop just a few minutes in this busy world to count what you've done for us, It's amazing what you do. And Lord, just to think that next breath, if you don't allow us to have it, God, we don't get it. And Lord, I want to thank you and praise you. And Lord, you've answered so many prayers. And God, we just want to lift you up today and praise you. Thank you for Brother Schneider and his wife being here today. And God, we look for these messages to warm our hearts and fill us, dear Lord, with all the things that he knows and can tell us about missionary life and about faith promise and all the things that go with this. Lord, just bless, I pray, in the service to come and the night, Lord. And then, Father, as we pray for the whole church scene this morning, bless the buses, bless the teachers, bless everything that's going on in all the classes, Lord. And, Father, we pray that you'll bless everything that is done, that it may bring glory to your name today. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for dying for us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
And you can turn to James chapter 1, and we'll start reading in verse 18. Thank you for praying for me this week. God did a miracle, and we were able to get that PET scan scheduled for not tomorrow, but a week from tomorrow. So next Monday up at Holston Valley. So hopefully after that, we'll know if things have spread and what we need to do after that. And I appreciate all of your prayers. I do. God's answering them, and we're still very happy. We're not blue nor sad nor discouraged. We're not like what David said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" We're not cast down. God's very good. But your prayers are a big part of that. Amen. And I thank you for the cards. I thank you for the text. One lady sent me a letter, a prayer, and it was such a blessing. I thought I could teach like three lessons on all the principles that she mentioned in this one letter, and it was such a blessing. So thank you for going to the effort, for taking the effort to reach out to me and Patty, since we've gotten our diagnosis. You'll notice I don't have my glasses on. I grabbed the wrong ones this morning, and they aren't my bifocals, so I'm going to do the best I can to see that page and to see you, because y'all are kind of fuzzy. So anyway, let's get started. James, let me take a drink of water. Chapter 1. Let me read from 18 down to 25. And of his own will beget he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Now, we talked about that at length. We're talking about salvation. God doing it all, amen? You don't see us in there at all, do you? Other than what he did for us. Doesn't even mention our faith, which is not a work at all, of course. His will begetting us, the word of truth, amen? And then we talked about briefly about being a kind of first fruits of his creatures, which we will mention when we get into the end of the message. First fruits are those offerings that were God's, the first fruits. They were God's, and they were dedicated to the priest. We are begotten, that we might be dedicated to Christ, amen, that we are his exclusively. The first fruits were God's. Okay, but anyway, we talked about all that. We'll look at it just a little bit. You remember these things as we get into this message. We'll jump over 19 and 20 because this is kind of a warning based on verse 18, but we'll jump down to verse 21. And receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Wait a minute, I thought we were already saved. We most assuredly are already saved without any doubt, but evidently we need further saving, correct? Which is able to save your souls. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. By the way, very interesting term, amen? The law of liberty. I'll go to another passage that uses that same word, liberty, the law of liberty. It's able to set us free. It's able to save our souls, amen? He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now, where that word is mentioned is also is in John chapter 8, and it's talking about being set free. You're very familiar with it. I'll read it to you. And ye shall know the truth, the perfect law of liberty. Amen. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, put you at liberty. Isn't that wonderful? And then they said, if you've done any soul winning, you've seen this kind of stuff. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. Have you ever heard of amazing statements that people make when you try to bring them to Christ? Never in bondage to any man? Folks, they spent the first 400 years of their national life in bondage in Egypt. They were in continual and repeated bondage all the way through Judges. The 10 tribes were carried away into bondage by the Assyrians. Jerusalem, Judea, was carried away into bondage for 70 years to Babylon. And they were at that time under bondage to the Romans. Can you imagine that statement? We were never in bondage to any man. Sinners that don't want to get saved can make amazing statements to try and get out of submitting to the truth. Amen? But you've experienced that in your soul winning too, just like I have. And Jesus did, right? Just horrible resistance to the truth. But we talked about that. Let every man be quick to hear, slow to wrath. The negative reaction to hearing the word of God. We'll talk a little bit more about that. Anyway, were they set free? Let's go back. Did they hear the word of truth? Well, Jesus was teaching it to them, right? They not only heard it, but they knew it. They knew exactly what he was saying. Were they set free? Were they given liberty? They were not. Obviously not. So it seems apparent that something else has to go along with that promise, correct? And that's what we're going to see in James chapter 1. Now, I'd like for you to notice and keep in your mind a couple of things as we go through this. Our text gives us the great work. We saw it there in verse 25. Being a doer of the work. So, notice also in verse 21, it says, let me get back up there. Oh, there it is, 21, yeah. My eyes, huh? Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word. Now, wait a minute. Which will save your soul? No. It's able to. It doesn't save everybody's soul, correct? There's a lot of people that come into church, hear the same message that you do, and you go out and you are changed. And God's beginning to give you liberty. But those people go out and they're completely unchanged and stay in their sins, correct? So it's not that it will. It's the Word of God is not a magic wand. You just don't wave it over people and all of a sudden they're set free. Obviously, there's some responsibilities for us if that's to happen. And that's what we see in this text. Verse 21, we must receive it. You think, well, of course. No, we're going to see that that's an entirely different thing than just hearing it. We must receive it, and we must receive it meekly. Not like we see in the two verses prior to this, slow to wrath, and then it talks about, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. That's not meekness, amen? So we talked at length about negative responses to the Word of God, people getting angry. We've been there ourselves, but we must receive it with meekness. And it must be engrafted. So there's this process of making it one with us. That's what engrafting is, amen? It's two diverse things becoming one. Okay, verse 22, not only that, we must be a doer. Be ye doers of the word. So its commands and its precepts must be followed and obeyed. And in verse 25, it says, he that looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth. Now, my thinking on this isn't what it talked about in obeying, but it's a continual looking. It's not just a, oh, okay, like some people do when they come into church, they hear it, okay, great sermon, they leave, they looked, now they've forgotten, right? This is the person that continues looking at this. I hope to give you an illustration of this in a little bit. And we see in verse 25, this is a doing of the work. And what does it say about that person that will do this work? We're talking about receiving. We're talking about meekness. We're talking about engrafting. We're talking about being a doer. We're talking about a continual looking. This man shall be blessed. This man shall be blessed in his deed, this work that he does with the Word of God. Now, if you will try to remember those key points of this, because I believe that there is a wonderful illustration of this in the Psalms. If you would, turn to Psalm 126. And I'll read it. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, Lord, the Lord hath done great things for them. And then they said, the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Now notice verse 4. turn us again. Turn our captivity, O Lord. So he had already turned their captivity once, but now they've gotten into life away from there. And they realize, I need you to continue this work in my life. Now notice what happened. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. Now, in this text, after we heard in verse 18 about of his own will beget he us by the word of truth, we have two verses of admonition. But here we have a couple of verses of just rejoicing. Did you see it there? What an amazing statement. We were like them that dream. This incredible language, it's an experience of something so wonderful, so profound, that it's hard to believe that we've entered from this to this. Amen? Isn't that the way it was in salvation for you? I mean, you went from darkness to light. It's like, I see the truth now. I'm no longer in the dark. It is the truth, right? You were sinking in miry clay, and now your feet are upon a rock. We were like them that dream. It's like, this is just so amazingly incredible. We were like them that dream. Have you ever been there, folks? Have you ever been? Maybe you're like that. I'm still like that. I'll be on my back porch praying for my lost family, for my lost friends. And then it dawns on me, out of all of those people, God saved me. They could be praying for me right now, and I'm praying for them. God did this amazing work, and it's like, and I go back to that state. I'm like them that dream. Lord, what in the world have you done for me? It's so amazing. I don't know, we are delightfully surprised and a little confused. It's like a dream. It's wonderfully expressive language, is it not? It expresses the state of our souls so well in this thing of salvation. But notice also, then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Don't you love God's word? God's when is our then. When he turned, then we were glad. It's like we loved him because he first loved us. He is the great cause, and all that we experience is the great effect. Amen? When he turned us, then was our mouth. It's just talking about the joy of the Lord. Amen? We're just so happy to be saved. And our mouth is filled with singing. He's put a new song in our heart, as a matter of fact. And it's just wonderful, without a doubt. His when is our then. Now notice this, he says, then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. Now folks, that's not how they're going to say it. I remember when I got saved and I was a lost sailor living in the barracks. You let your mind run wild. I was a sinner of those things which we are now ashamed. We don't want to talk about them. I was a sinner, and God saved me, and Phil got changed. I started talking to the folks in my barracks room. I went down the hall and talked to them. I got on the phone and talked to my brothers and sisters and my mother and father, and I was a little exuberant. I was. That name that I had cursed, the Lord Jesus Christ, which was a joke to me, now had become a precious name. Now, I know I wasn't too diplomatic. I worked out in the line shack. They still use that name like that. It was a grief of mine to me. If they were talking to me and used that name like that, I immediately said, save sinners. Do you know what they said? Phil's gotten religion. Something happened to him. He's not, do you know, all they were saying was, the Lord's done great things for him. Now, that's not how they said it. They grudgingly said it, right? Gosh, he's gone crazy. This isn't the Phil we know. They were testifying God had done something in that man's heart and life. He's not what he was. And why we go on down? Because that's what we say. The Lord hath done great things for us. We bear witness. With the heart man believeth unto salvation, and with the mouth confession is made unto righteousness. Amen? We very much are the maniac of Gadara. Folks, when we got saved, we were sitting at the feet of Jesus. We are now in our right mind. You and me are in our right mind. Amen? We were crazy before because we believed a lie. And we're living a lie. We are now in our right mind. We have been sitting at the feet of Jesus, me for 50 years now. And we are clothed with righteousness. And every one of us, like that maniac of Gadara, says, Lord, let me go with you. We would have liked to have gone on to heaven a long time ago. Amen. And what did he say to him? What he says to every one of us. Go and tell what great things the Lord hath done for thee. Amen. Amen. By the way, I don't know if you noticed, that's in Luke, go and tell. In Mark, he says, go and show. In other words, the one is your witness, the other is your life. Go and show what great things God's done for you by a changed life. They should have been able to see that man's changed. Amen. Two different things that we have to be mindful of. Now, wait a minute. Then we get to verse 4. Turn again our captivity. So now we have need of further salvation. This is like Paul in Romans 7. There is a law in my members warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin that is in my members. Anybody ever been there? Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. We have need of salvation on and on and on. And this man realizes it. He begins to pray, turn again my captivity, our captivity, O Lord. Now notice what he says. As the streams in the south. Now that word south is the word Negev. That desert is still there, and they still call it the Negev in Israel. I've seen pictures of it. I've seen pictures of those Bedouins and their goats, and I think, what in the world do those goats eat? There's nothing there. I don't know how they live there. It's that dry. They eat their goats, I guess, and their milk, but what do those goats eat? This is what meteorologists call a rain shadow. The prevailing winds coming off the Mediterranean drop their wonderful life-giving rain where? On the hills of Judea, amen? Over there in Zion. But they're out here in this dry desert. Now, through God's wonderful process of hydrology, rain falls on the mountains, gets into the aquifer, and through hydrologic pressure, goes over here to this place, and out of that desert comes a spring of water. Now, we all know what water is in the Bible, right? It's talked about in John 7. He that believeth on me, as the scripture saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But thus spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. So, here we are praying. Oh, God, please do something in my life. Turn my captivity. My heart is all bound up. My life is all bound up. I need you. And as you pray, God does an amazing grace where you don't even see it. Over there, blessings begin to fall. And through that amazing process of grace, he opens a spring of blessing in your heart. The Holy Spirit begins to work in your dry ground. Amen? Now notice, he goes on. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed. I'll do the best I can to give you an illustration of this. Two or three months ago now, I was privileged and honored to be able to deliver a message to the Wednesday night group. Maybe you were here, maybe you weren't. I talked of many things, and then I sat down. And some folks came by and shook my hand and said, "Brother, thank you." Just a couple, two or three, just enough to encourage me that I hadn't offended everybody. Oh, yeah. The devil works on you. And so I'll praise the Lord, you know. At least somebody got a blessing, but everybody didn't. If everybody had come, I'd have probably got a swelled head. Amen? So just enough to encourage me that I might have said something right. Days later, a woman stopped my wife in the hall in the Sunday school department. She said to her, not to me, she said, "You don't know how powerfully God worked in our heart, my husband and my heart, through that message. We were so convicted that we could not even speak to each other all the way home." I have no idea what it was. I talked about many things. I don't want to know. That's holy ground. Do you know what God had done? God had given them precious seed. He had given to them the word of God for them. I did not have them in mind, and I assure you, I don't have that kind of power. God does that work, and God opened a spring in their heart, the Holy Spirit. Then he gives him his word, and it is now precious seed. Amen. Has God ever spoken to you like that? To where, I mean, it knocks you down? And you know what they were doing? All the way home, they were with meekness. They were receiving with meekness and engrafting it. They had to keep thinking about it. They were doing the work. They were doing what it says there. And he that continueth therein, a continual looking, they could not stop. They didn't want to talk to each other. Maybe they went home and prayed. I've been there before. I don't want to have a treat. I got to go pray. You've been there, right? Why? Because you are receiving this. God has given you precious food, and what they were doing, they were going forth with weeping and sowing that seed, putting it in the ground where God had burst open the spring of grace and was doing a work in their life. This is the work that God will bless. Amen? This is how God's people are saved and set free, which is able to save your soul. So, maybe you've done this too. I have. Back when I first got saved, there were no smartphones. If you wanted to memorize scripture, if you wanted to engraft it into your heart, if you wanted it to get in there so deep, this is the work. Amen? Receiving in meekness, the engrafted word. He that looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues to look and to look. We used to get 3x5 cards. Does anybody know what a 3x5 card is? Yeah, amen. You did it too. And you'd write those verses on there because you did not want to forget. You wanted to keep those in front of you. You wanted to continue to look into this perfect law of liberty because God had given you precious seed, and you did not want to let it go, and you kept sowing it and sowing it, engrafting and grafting, looking and looking. What were you doing? He that doeth the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. God promises it. Did it come immediately? Gosh, I wish. I've worked on verses for so many months, sometimes prayed over them, and then I'd slip again. I'd say, "Oh, God, please." I'd look at it again, remind myself of it again. And then God began to what? As I sowed, and that bubbling spring, the Holy Spirit of God, that mysterious work that we don't know how it happens. His work is secret, amen? It falls over there on Zion, but it makes its way to us in our dry life. And we sow that precious seed in that place that He has opened up in our life. And if we have to, we weep over it. We'll get into that in James chapter 4. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to heaviness, and humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. He'll lift you up, folks. These are the same promises that we're seeing here. Weeping over the word, weeping over the condition in your life. Folks, I'm here to tell you that we can be saved, but we must do the work. God can lift us up. God can bless His word. God can, which is able to save your souls. Do we believe that? I think we have such a superficial Christianity today because nobody's doing this work. We come and hear messages. We leave. We have a glance into it. Then we go home and forget. And we don't take it like it's precious seed. Now, I know. God didn't work like that in everybody's heart that night, but He did in theirs. I'm using them as an illustration. Amen? If you want to be turned again in your Negev, you'll pray, and God will open up a spring in your dry soil, and then He'll give you His precious word. Then you'll sow it into your heart, engrafting it into that soil. Notice this, and I'm done. He that goeth forth and weepeth, as we've already said, this has nothing to do with soul winning. You've heard it that way, but it has nothing to do with soul winning. He doesn't go forth. He goes to where? He goes forth and sows it into the soul of his heart. He goeth forth weeping, and he bears that precious seed. Verse 5, he sows it in tears. Now notice, if he does this, he shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. He shall be blessed in his deed. That's all James 1:25 is saying. This is a living illustration of it. He shall be blessed in his deed. We want that blessing, do we not? Don't we want to be blessed? We've got to do the work. This work that revolves around James 1:18-25. But notice this, bringing his sheaves with him. Folks, God's people, when they had a harvest, had to bring the first fruits of that harvest where? Back to Zion and offer it to God, right? And they gave it to the priest for his service, correct? So, if this is only telling us this, that if God is doing a work in your heart, He is changing you, He is saving you, He's doing it for His honor and glory and for you to use it for His service. Correct? Right? What does it say in Psalm 23? He leads us in paths of righteousness. Why? For His name's sake, not for us, to bring glory to Him. So what you're to do, if God gives you victory, if God works in your heart, God does the work and blesses you in that deed, you're to come back to Him like that one leper and give glory to God and dedicate what He's done in your life to further service for Him. Does that all make sense? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please, please, Lord, open up one of these springs in our hearts. Give us precious seed that we might bear fruit, wondrous Christ-likeness, godliness, grace, courage, whatever it is, that we might bring it back to You for Your honor and glory and for Your service. God, help us in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.